don't see you. Nice to meet you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it, guys. This is Ted Nguyen. I'm in Chicago doing an audio podcast, and I'm talking to an individual that did a panel discussion with me, talking about mobile apps and social media and blogging and all the great technology tools that are available. So tell me your name and the organization that you represent.
So I'm Frank Hebert. I work for Open Plans, which is a nonprofit building technology for civic engagement.
Okay. You're based out of New York City, so tell me about what's happening in New York City and some of the exciting projects that you're delivering for the end user.
So we have an office in New York, and we also have some software developers in Philly and DC and in Chicago as well. We're doing some great stuff in New York at the moment. We've just wrapped up a couple of years working with the Department of Transportation. They have a big bike share program rolling out, and they used an open source crowdsourcing platform that we built to solicit locations for those bikes.
Which is a really unique situation. Rather than having planners and bureaucrats decide, based on whatever statistics and demographics, you're actually letting the end user, the bicyclist, decide the location, the substance of the program.
Right. It was one of the inputs that they used in the planning process. Mm-hmm. So they also held public workshops and invited people to comment on the suggestions that they got. And so the city ran a very inclusive process. They used an online tool. They did public workshops. I'm sure they've also used data, demographic data, transit accessibility to work out the locations in the city that are going to make the most sense. So the public input tool that they used that we created, which is called Shareabouts. Shareabouts, is one element of that engagement platform, and it was one more way to bring the project to more people.
Right. So can you walk us through, what that was, what was that crowdsourcing? Describe mm-hmm. that experience, for people. What did they yeah. see? What did they experience? And then ultimately, what did they do?
Mm-hmm. So people were invited to suggest locations where they would use the bike share system. And they would go to a website. They maybe receive a tweet or a message on Facebook from a friend suggesting that they check out a location that person suggested already. And they can go to the map. They can add a suggested location. So they can move the map to a neighborhood, find an intersection, drop a location for a bike share station, or they can support a station that someone else has already created and share that. And when they leave the location, they can give a little comment. And so in that site and in other sites that we've built since, we see people explaining why that particular location makes sense. There's a site up for the Portland bike share, there are really thoughtful discussions going on about why particular locations are the optimal ones, why this intersection would be a great location for a bike share and how it fits into the broader transportation that's serving that location. Right. So people get really involved in those discussions.
Right. And I think it's really brilliant because it's also empowering people and also having people take ownership of the program. And so you're going to, at the end of the process, actually have end users that are going to be utilizing the service. So describe to us, what bike sharing is for those people that don't exactly know what that is.
Sure. So so bike sharing is municipal or privately run systems of bicycles that you can borrow from an automated kiosk mm-hmm. on the sidewalk for a short trip. So generally sort of 30, 45 minutes. You either buy an annual membership or you buy a 3-day pass. And then you take the bike and do an errand or a trip that you might otherwise have done on foot or by subway or in your own vehicle, and then you drop the bike off at another station. So you keep on picking up and dropping off bikes as you use the system mm-hmm. over time. The network of stations in cities that have them and are expanding them, the network of stations will expand across the city. Mm-hmm. So it becomes another layer of the transportation system to use alongside transit and private vehicles mm-hmm. and walking.
Right. As far as, open source and, the data that's becoming available as, cities are releasing, housing data to crime stats to, retail tax, information, et cetera. There's a wealth of information out there. So it's going to really take entrepreneurs like yourself, as well as, others that will mine that data and make it really more relevant to individuals to bring meaning for those key decisions that residents and people that are part of the community can make, right? I mean, is that what the vision of this planning process is having that information and then soliciting the public feedback that's necessary and then coming up, hopefully, with the best public policy decisions that bring the most benefits to the most people.
Yeah, so we're seeing this fantastic situation where cities are sharing a lot of their municipal data sets online. And that's enabling, as you say, organizations, communities, to look at the data and to form their own understanding about, you know, situations in their neighborhood. And so, I mean, we're in Chicago right now. The city does a really great job of sharing the data on 311 calls that go into the city. And they're using the 311 calls to, obviously, to respond to people. So for people who don't know, 311 is a service that you can call one number and the city will respond to whether it's, you know, a pothole or a broken streetlight or a request for information about school districts. All of that information comes from this one number. That's also a very useful data source for the cities, because people's questions in particular neighborhoods start to show you what neighborhoods are concerned about, or maybe there are neighborhoods where people aren't calling 311 as much as you'd expect given the population density. And so, you know, we're able to use data sets like that to understand the pulse of a city in a way that, you know, traditionally, we've only been able to use the census or much kind of slower, you know, every 10 year.
Type. So you're really adding those additional layers to have a complete picture of the pulse and the thoughts of the community.
Yeah, we as planners and community people, all of us are able to use these data sets to understand and advocate for better communities.
So what do you think the future is headed as far as, you know, with all this information, all the data that's available, that's easily accessible to us, and then also as content providers, you know, we're sharing information, consuming information, interacting like never before socially. So where do you think things are going, and what are some of the pitfalls or challenges that we need to perhaps consider so that we can make, you know, the best planning decisions possible?
So I think, you know, data alone isn't enough. So the important thing is using the data to make, as you said before, you know, sound public policy decisions, to implement, whether it's transportation services or housing design or zoning decisions that create a, you know, a more equitable, prosperous urban life. It's how we choose to use that data, first of all, that's very important. And then also who is using the data, who's involved in the process. So, you know, we see examples of inclusive, thoughtful planning where cities or community organizations are bringing in lots of people who maybe haven't been involved in the planning process before, or are too busy, or, you know, they have other things going on in their lives, so they don't see sort of getting engaged with the long-term future of their neighborhood as being important. And so we need to be building tools that serve those people. And so, you know, we obviously want the enthusiasts, the people who have a vision for their neighborhood, but we also want the voices of people who are busy and they want a stable neighborhood to live in, but they themselves are not going to be out there directly organizing for it. So we have to be building tools and using data in a way that engages, you know, across that spectrum of people. So there's technology issues, there's engagement issues, very simple things like language barriers. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be building tools that are only in English. Mm-hmm. We need to be building more tools that are in other languages. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so in the 20 seconds that we have left, you know, tell us where people can find you online.
Sure.
It's also,
sure.
You know, how can people find
sure.
more information?
So if you go to openplans.org, you can find out all about the team of software developers and all of the tools that we build, and you can get in touch with us there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Peter. Thanks. And, you know, best of luck as well. So I know that you're going to be in Chicago for the next few days as well. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.